This is Growing Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. The prophet Jonah has gone on quite a journey so far. He received a call from God to go preach. He rejected God's call and ran away on a boat in the opposite direction of where God called. When God sent a storm, he tried to escape again by having the sailors throw him overboard. But God sent a big fish to keep him company. Now in the belly of that fish, Jonah must respond to God. Today, we'll conclude a sermon from Pastor Sam titled, Prophet in the Dark. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
And when you listen and you find out what I didn't say, and then when you figure out how I actually said some of the things I said in the prayer, you're going to discover what I learned later. I really didn't get it yet. God got my attention, but he hadn't yet broken my heart. He got me to concede, but he didn't get me to submit. By the end of chapter 2, I think Jonah would say it this way. By the end of chapter 2, I was so frustrated with the circumstances that I was in that I said, Uncle. You ever played that game? You ever watched kids play that game? It's like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to stop doing this until you say, Uncle. And you're like, can I say aunt? Can I say cousin? Can I say brother? Why can't I call the dog's name? Why does it have to be uncle? I don't know why it's uncle, but it's uncle. And you're not going to get out of this pain until you say uncle. And you cut it out, and finally you just can't take it anymore, and you say uncle. And that's what Jonah does from the bottom of the sea. There is a big difference between saying uncle and saying Lord. And Jonah hasn't said Lord yet. I mean, he said it in his prayer, so it's theologically accurate, but it hasn't really changed his perspective. And Jonah says, I don't want you to miss that. When you listen carefully to my prayer, what you won't hear is repentance. What you won't hear is confession. You'll hear gratitude. You'll hear good theological orthodoxy, but you won't hear repentance, and you won't hear confession. And what's really going on is I have come to the place where I've been willing to comply to God's will, but I firmly remain committed to the idea that my will and my way is better than God's. So with that in mind, let's look carefully at this text and quickly. And the first thing you see is in chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and it's the grateful reflection of Jonah after the book is written. He is praying a thanksgiving prayer. That's the kind of prayer this is. And it's a formal prayer that somebody would pray after God did something for them. They would come and they would realize God did an amazing thing. God granted me a deliverance. And so God deserves something. God deserves my gratitude, and he deserves a thank offering. And so I'm gonna vow, and I'm gonna bring a thank offering to the temple. And when I get there, I'm gonna say a prayer of thanks. And the way the Hebrew people would describe that was this: it is a toda, T-O-D-A-H, and that is what this prayer was. It was a formal prayer of thanksgiving for God's deliverance. It's flavored with gratitude. It's filled with praise. It's marked by reflection. Here's what happened to me. Here's what I learned from it. And then it's intended for instruction. Jonah is praying this prayer, and he's writing it down for our instruction. Here's what you should learn from my experience. This prayer is, as I said, being prayed in the belly of a fish. It actually consists of two prayers. We talked about that just a moment ago. But the main prayer is this prayer of thanksgiving. And as Jonah looks back on it, he says, I prayed desperately. Look at verse 2. I cried unto the Lord out of my distress. Jonah says, I was in the worst possible trouble, and as these waves were crashing over me, I shouted to the Lord. I yelled for help. That's the idea. I prayed desperately, and God heard graciously. He answered me in verse 2. And later on, he heard my voice. He did what Jonah refused to do. When Jonah heard the voice of God, he refused to respond. When God heard the voice of Jonah, this disobedient, prodigal prophet, he responded. And then God delivered mercifully. Look at verse 6. You brought up my life from the pit. And then something amazing happens in verse 6, last part. Jonah says, O Lord, my God. Jonah has decided to do something. Because of all this mercy that he has received from the Lord, he's decided to do something. You remember at verse in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Jonah decided to walk away from the Lord. He fled from the presence of Yahweh, and we talked about what that meant. He packed up his stuff, and he said, I'm renouncing my position as a prophet. I am leaving the land where God's presence formally dwells, and I'm abandoning my people. Here at the bottom of the ocean, Jonah says something. He says, okay, Lord, you're my God. And it's a theologically freighted statement that means this: I am going to come back. I'm going to come back and pick up my prophetic office. I'm going to come back and I'm going to be part of the land again. And when I get back, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to offer sacrifices. Jonah has decided to return. And what moved him was not the wrath of God. What moved him was the mercy of God. You know, sometimes God chastens us in wrath, but he always wins us with mercy. I'll never forget, years ago, I was pastoring a church in Wisconsin, and we were in a season where many of God's people were doing exactly what you're doing. They were praying, they were sharing their faith, and God was blessing abundantly. And we just saw many, many people come to Christ, and many, many people began to come to church. And many of those people had never been to church before. And they came into the church, and there was a couple, Paul and Paula, never forget them. And they would sit in the back, and they would just weep. We were preaching through 2 Peter, and I'm thinking, my goodness, how can you weep at 2 Peter? There's nothing to cry about in here. And they were just crying. And one day, we took them to lunch, and I said to them, Paul and Paula, tell me your story. And they told this incredible story. They said, Pastor, we blew up our lives. They had met. They were both married. They worked at the same place. And they committed adultery with each other, and they destroyed their respective marriages, and then they got married to each other. And they said, we gave ourselves to every conceivable sin that you could think of. Anything you read in the Bible, we tried. And the more we sinned, the more God blessed us. He just poured blessing after blessing after blessing on us. He gave us mercy after mercy after mercy. And one day we woke up and we saw this mountain of mercy that God had given us, and it broke our hearts. And they came to Christ. And then they began to grow. And I just want you to know, folks, this is the God you serve. God may have to chastise you in his discipline, but he will win you with mercy. And that's exactly what we see here in the book of Jonah. And so there is this reflection, this grateful reflection. And as he reflects, there is this desperate contemplation as he remembers what it was like in verses 3 through 6. He was in desperate conditions. He was cast into the very heart of the sea. The depths were swallowing him. Weeds were drowning him. Life was departing from him. He said, I went down to the land whose bars closed on me forever. That's a very poetic way to describe the land of death, the realm of death. Jonah said, listen, I was so far down, the currents were so strong, the water was so deep, the weeds were so wrapped around me that I was about to enter the land that I would never return from. I was about to enter the land of death. And then you did something. And as I was down there about to die, I realized that you had been doing all of this. You were the one who cast me into the deep. Yes, the hands of the sailors were the ones who threw me over the side, but you providentially were working all of this. You were the one who caused the storm. You were the one who owned the waves and the billows that drove me to this place. I thought it was just. I thought it was right. But you had a verdict, and you rendered that verdict the minute I went over the side of that ship. It was you who cast me into the deep. It was your waves and your billows that did all of this. And so I concluded something. I concluded that I was driven away from your sight. I began to realize I have really done it now. I said in chapter 1, I am renouncing you, I'm renouncing your office, I'm renouncing your people, I'm renouncing your land, and I'm headed out, and you validated that. Now you are driving me away, like you drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, like you drove Cain out of the land. Now you've driven me away, and yet, when I called in the middle of all of that, you delivered me, you sent this sea creature, and you rescued me. And here, from the safety of this sea creature, I know that you have delivered me. And I know something else. I know that one day, soon, I'm going to be again at the temple. I know that you've delivered me. You have brought up my life from the pit. You know, when you get to the very bottom, and some of you have been there, and some of you are headed there, and all of us have the potential of getting there. When you get to the very bottom, and you come to the very end, and you realize there's nobody to help. You've called every friend. You've used every lifeline you've got. You've touched every relationship. You've tried everything you know. You've been here, you've been there, and here you are, and you're at the very bottom, and you're at the very end, and all of a sudden you realize there's nobody left. Nobody will take my calls. Nobody will believe me anymore. I've said it so many times. Nobody's going to believe me another time. You ever been there? And then God rescues you. You know what you know? You know what Jonah knew. It was God. God did it. Some of you are sitting here, and you know, as you're sitting here singing about God's amazing grace, that not too long ago you despaired of even life. Some of you sitting here can look around and see all of the damage that could potentially have been done, or maybe even was done, and here you are, and God has been gracious to you. God did it. God did it. And Jonah says, I look back and I contemplate my desperate condition, and here's what I know. You were the one who put me in it, and you were the one who brought me up. And because you brought me up, you are going to take me back. Here's a great lesson from this prayer. You can never run so far away from God that there isn't a way back. If Jonah's prayer could go from the bottom of the ocean to the ear of God, so can yours. If God's hand could reach down into the very depths of the ocean to rescue a prodigal prophet who was so stuck in his self-righteous stubbornness, then God can do the same for me. God can rescue me. And God can rescue you. That brings us to the third thing in the prayer, and that is this self-righteous comparison. And you see this in verses 7 through 8. Jonah has cried out to the right person. I remembered the Lord. And he's already told us about the Lord in chapter 1. He said the Lord is the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And Jonah has a lot of experience now with the sea, and he would like to have a new relationship with dry land. And he says, I cried out to the right person. He cried out by the right means. I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you. This is in chapter 2, verse 7. And it came to the right place. It came to your holy temple. It came right into your presence. And it expressed a righteous theological truth. Two times in this little prayer, Jonah talks about the temple. You know, we don't have a temple today. We go to church and we have churches. But if you lived in ancient Israel, there was a particular place. Solomon built it. It was magnificent. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world. And the whole world knew that this was the house where God had placed his presence. And when it was dedicated, Solomon prayed, and you can see this prayer in two different places. You can see it in 2 Kings chapter 8, and you can see it in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And he said this. He got up in front of the whole nation, and he prayed to God, and he said, if your people, when they sin, pray and direct their prayer to this temple, then you hear from heaven and forgive them. And so this is what Jonah is talking about when he talks about the temple. I am doing what you told me to do theologically. But, and there's always a but here, there are some clues in the way that Jonah prays that reveal that everything is not quite right. So let me show you these, all right? Here they are. First, Jonah omits two important things from his prayer. Jonah would say, listen and see if I confess my disobedience. And then he would say, listen and see if I repent of that disobedience. And Jonah says, you can see all the good things I prayed, but what's missing are my confession of my disobedience and my repentance. You know, sometimes we teach our children how to apologize, don't we? And when your child comes and has done something and he says to you, well, I'm sorry that you were offended, what do you say to your kid? That's not what? That's not repentance. I'm sorry that you were offended. Or what about this? I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry that you were bothered by this. I didn't mean to do this. And I'm sorry if it bothered you. And you could say, well, I'm glad you feel that way, but that's different than saying this. I sinned against you, and I sinned against God. Would you forgive me? I was wrong. You can say you're sorry till you're blue in the face, but until you repent and you confess, there isn't true forgiveness. It doesn't have to be said with your words because God can hear our hearts. But at the end of the day, if all you're doing is apologizing for somebody else's oversensitivity, I'm sorry you were so sensitive and that you read it the wrong way and that you were offended by this and that hurt your feeling, instead of saying, I sinned against you, I was wrong, please forgive me. This is Jonah says, I didn't do that. And then notice what else he does. He says, I remembered the Lord. I remember the Lord. You say, Pastor Sam, what in the world's wrong with that? Isn't that what you want us to do? I remember the Lord. I sure hope I remember the Lord. I want to remember the Lord. Don't you want me to remember the Lord? What in the world? What are you saying about this? I remember the Lord. Well, here's an interesting thing. Jonah has been delivered. Remember, he's writing this after the fact, and he's trying to tell you how it happened. And he's saying, now, one of the things that happened that brought about this deliverance was this. I remembered the Lord. That phrase occurs all through the Old Testament from people who experience the kind of thing that Jonah experienced, and they always say it this way. The Lord remembered me. I ran down every reference of this, and it says, the Lord remembered me. It's like Jonah says, I want you to think about what I'm saying. I'm saying, I sort of earned this deliverance. I sort of deserve this deliverance. I knew what to do to get it. I remembered the Lord. What he should have been saying, and he's saying this to you, he's saying, if you're listening to what I said and what I didn't say and how I said what I said, you should pick up something. I'm putting this prayer before you because it's going to reveal something. I still have a ton of self-righteous piety in me. I still believe that God, that I deserve this deliverance because of what I did. I remember the Lord. And if Jonah had been truly broken, he would have said, the Lord remembered me. And then the final thing you see here is that he compares himself. And when he compares himself, he kind of thinks, you know, I really am worthy of this mercy. Notice the comparison. Verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. The word steadfast love there is the word for mercy. They forsake their mercy. In other words, when you pay attention to idols, you don't deserve mercy from Yahweh. But that's not what I'm going to do. Look at what he says. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. In other words, Jonah says, listen, if you think about what I'm saying, there is, in verse 9, a self-confident surrender. Jonah says, all right, God, you win. Here I am at the bottom of the ocean. I've got no other options. I just have nowhere else to go. And so I repent. I'm going to turn back to you. I'm going to go back to the land. I'm going to go back to my office. And as soon as I get to the land, as soon as I get back to Joppa, I'll head up to the temple. I'll pay what I vow. I'm not going to be like these pagans you're sending me to. I'm not going to pay attention to idols. I deserve the merit. I deserve the mercy that you just showed me. But these idolaters you're sending me to don't. Salvation belongs to Yahweh. And by extension, to those who belong to Yahweh. And the people who belong to you don't worship idols. And when they worship idols, they forsake their right to mercy. And you're like, Jonah, do you even hear yourself? Do you even have a clue what was going on above the deck when you were going down? Those sailors, what were they doing? They were vowing vows and they were giving thanks. And who were they praying to? Not to their idols, but to Yahweh. And what did they get? They got mercy. And Jonah, do you even realize what you're saying? When you say that people who worship idols forsake their right to mercy, what has Israel been doing? You're so ticked because you want to make Israel great again, and you don't want the Assyrians to come and blow them up, and yet what are they doing? They're doing the very same thing those Assyrians are doing, and yet you think they deserve mercy, and the Assyrians don't. Jonah, your theology is all messed up. You know, sometimes we can have right theology that leads us in a very wrong place. And that's what happened to Jonah. And God was very gracious to Jonah. Jonah said, I'm surrendering to your will, but I'm not submitting to your plan. I'll head to Jerusalem. I'll pay what I vow. And then I'll head to Nineveh like I agree. But when I get there, I am not going to talk one bit about your mercy. When I get there, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to preach the shortest sermon anybody's ever heard. You say, Pastor Sam, can you go study under Jonah for just a little bit? You all know what? You know that's true. So here we are, and Jonah says, I'm going to go. When I get there, I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to tell them all about God's wrath, and I'm not going to say a word about God's mercy because I don't think these people merit it. You know what Jonah was doing? He was saying, Uncle, when he should have been saying, Lord.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon series from the book of Jonah next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for teaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for our worship service at 9:30 every Sunday morning, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, also by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billiou. Join us again next time So together, we can grow in grace.